The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. At this point, the party has already begun. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has gotten him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who had devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. The grace of a father rushing toward you with love and forgiveness after you have been offensive and mean, that grace is yours. Amen. We love this Gospel of Luke that we're in this year. We love the very beginning, chapter 1, we get the Magnificat. We get Mary singing in the very beginning of this gospel, and we love to read and hear and sing that the lowly are lifted high and those on their thrones are torn down. We love this idea of the topsy-turvy kingdom of God. We love our Jesus who reaches out and touches lepers on the Sabbath. Yeah, Pharisees on the Sabbath. Those Pharisees are always forgetting, you know, that love is what saves us, not rules. And then we have chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus' birth story. It's the ultimate topsy-turvy kingdom story, right? God's love comes to us in the most unexpected way. Breaks through boundaries, I mean serious boundaries, like from living the divine life in the heavens to being human and being birthed. And being born to a virgin in a barn, being born Jewish when Rome is in control. That's our God, we say. The first will be last, the last will be first. Those beatitudes we get to hear. Blessed are those who weep, for they shall be glad. That's the kingdom we love. It's the kingdom we keep working in and for. The kingdom of love that keeps growing in ways that offend the establishment that wants to keep things as they are. So then why can't we go to the party in our story today? This story of the father welcoming home the son who blew it, behaved in ways that are completely unacceptable in that time and culture, assigning no blame when blame was expected, requiring no penance, no request to work off the debt, to pay it back eventually in some fashion, no promise to be made, just extravagant love. Love that's actually been pent up in the waiting. This father's been longing and waiting for the return of this kid who disrespected him, the kid who treated him like he was dead and demanded his inheritance. We love this God of ours. We love this story. So why can't we go to the party? Why do we look at the Father and say, "That's not fair"? It's precisely what we've been singing about since Mary first sang her song. But we actually don't necessarily want it to be true. Unless we are the kid who blew it. When we're the kid who had to live with the pigs, then we love this story because we are totally that guy sometimes. But many of us here, we have been churched our whole lives. We have worked hard. We know the rules. We honor our traditions and have healthy boundaries in place around what is good and right and true. We've raised our families. We've invested our money wisely. We have a lot of wisdom about moral behavior and ethical living. We really might not want to admit it, but we are totally the older brother sometimes. We hear of the Father opening his arms of grace, running down the path to welcome those that we have boundaries for. Those people we just need to talk to just for a minute, just to make sure that they understand what they've done, that they've blown it, and we're going to welcome them in this time, but we have a few rules to abide by this time. We need some insurance that you're not going to blow it again, you're not going to hurt people again. But the Father will have none of that. The Father says, this one was outside my fold, and now he's back. That is when we party. When relationships that were broken are restored, when someone, for all I knew, was dead, and someone who treated me as I was dead, when this one is not dead but is alive and is returned home, that is when we party. Not when one of us who has offended has made appropriate restoration and we feel satisfied that they have expressed enough shame and that they really know their place, and their place is in the home. It's to be welcomed back in, but not to be the honored guest at the party. We love the story of this extravagant father's love. But when God invites us into celebration that what was lost has now been found, what was outside the fold is now inside the fold, sometimes we decline the invitation to the party. We say, I just can't celebrate that. I can't participate. Separating ourselves from God, God's love, God's mercy, God's party, God's celebration, that's sin. Anything that pulls us and separates us from the love of God is sin. I found it difficult to write this next little piece of this sermon. I know that it is biblically true, but my own self-righteousness doesn't really want to accept it, does not want to write it down, and really does not want to say it right now, which only proves that it needs to be said. Our own personal sins are as great as those who bring guns on campuses and harm our children. Our own personal sins are as great as those who lay in gutters in drunken stupors. Our own personal sins are as great as the ruthless tyrants of the world. We find ourselves giving grades to sins. This one, that's a 9, but this one over here, that's just a 2. My little sins of coveting and leaving people out and judgment, they hardly count. Not to the Father. Sin is sin is sin. Whatever keeps us from the Father's banquet is sin. And Jesus tells us in this great parable that God welcomes home the most blatant of sinners and makes them our brothers and sisters in the household, and calls us to come away from our self-righteousness and step over the boundaries we've drawn and come to the party. And we actually have a party every Sunday here at this table. God does not have some sort of test for this party. You are welcome here. We each bring our own sinful selves, and we receive the exact same gift of love and forgiveness and salvation and sacrifice. For a lamb has been slaughtered for us. A feast has been prepared for us. We are robed in our baptisms. We are welcomed. We are at the same time undeserving squanderers of this remarkable gift of grace and the honored guest at the banquet table. So I hope that you will come to the party. Amen.